Yeah.
I do have to ask to start. Do you send one text message per day? Like, is that your text message quota?
Oh, I'm a horrible texter. Like I might be one of the worst texters, like literally on planet Earth. Like for example, I was in the middle of my state four ball, and like I saw your text like 4 minutes
Okay.
after you sent it, and I'm like, all right, I was on like my eighth hole, and I was like, all right, I'm gonna send it like when I'm done. I'm not gonna like worry about it right now.
Sure.
And I woke up the next morning, I was like, oh my God, I never texted back. Like, what? Why didn't I? And then and then I like the text I think I sent you this morning, I like wrote it out. And then got distracted and never hit send. And I'm like, man, he's like me. He hasn't responded back in a while either. And I went to it and I'm like, I never sent
That's pretty funny. I was like,
it.
man, this dude must be all over the place, man.
Yeah.
He's because I was like, I don't know if I've met many people, you know, your age or around that age that have not that aren't like always on their phone. So I'm like, he's either really busy or like, I don't know. I was like, it was pretty funny though.
Mix of both,
It's a
man.
mix of both. So what you got going on right now? You mentioned something about state four ball.
Yeah, so me and my roommate Rob Kinder, we
Okay.
played we just spent this last Monday, Tuesday playing in the state four ball.
And that's Virginia, is that right?
Yeah,
Okay.
Virginia.
Okay.
We were leading after day one, and we ended up one short.
Okay. So is I don't know. I'm not very familiar with, like, you know, the Virginia State Golf Association or anything like that. Is it a pretty competitive state association?
Most of the college guys
Okay.
that normally play in like VSGA, they were out doing their college stuff. Luckily, Rob and I, we kind of had like a little period in between nationals and the end of school where
Right.
we had the opportunity to do it. Most of the other college guys didn't.
Yeah.
But yeah, normally very like really competitive state.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
That's awesome.
a lot of good players that come out of here, so.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon and welcome to the finals of the 2022 NCAA Golf Championship. Make it memorable, gentlemen.
What's up, and welcome to this week's edition of the Golf Stat Podcast. I am lucky enough to be joined by D3 Golf Sensation and my national hero, Alex Price from Christopher Newport. What's up, Alex?
Yeah, not much. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, man. So tell me what you're up to now. Obviously, at Christopher Newport, you guys are maybe as we're recording this on a, I don't know what day it is. Oh, it's Thursday. Maybe a few days away from getting a national championship. What's going on in your world, maybe leading up to championships?
Right now, just a lot of practice. Luckily, school's over for us, so the semester's behind us, so it's just all golf from here on out. I think we're flying out Saturday, so in 2 days. And then until then, it's just trying to get the team prepared and going national championship.
It's at Keene this year, right? Keene Trace in Kentucky.
Yeah,
Is
yeah.
that right? Have you been there before, played there before?
Yeah, that's where we play the preview this year.
That's right. They
Yeah.
always do the preview at the national championship. So what do you think of the place?
Awesome track. I really liked it. It was a really firm when we played it. If you got it downwind, it was pretty windy. And if you got it downwind, you couldn't even like hold wedges within 50 feet of where you landed them.
Really? Wow.
So I'm assuming it's not going to play as tough as it did for the preview. But yeah, awesome track, great conditions. I'm really excited for it.
Okay. I say, looking at D3 preview, it looked like you went 71, 67, 71 to
Yeah.
win, right? So I would assume it is a place that you, even if it was your first time seeing it, I'm guessing it's a place you did like then, huh?
Oh yeah. No, I really enjoyed playing there.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So let's get into it. Talk a little bit about, just the season overall. First of all, I do have a clarifying question because this happens with registration all the time. I went back and I looked at your previous year's results and so on and so forth. What year are you in school? Because it
I'm a
still says you're a,
senior.
okay, because it says you're a
Yeah.
sophomore. And I was like,
Yeah.
wait a minute now. It
It
looks like it's
has
been a
been 3
sophomore for
years
3 years. Yeah.
now.
So you are a senior. Okay. That's awesome. Okay. So let's go back and maybe talk specifically about this season in general. You've been a top player nationally in D3 golf for 4 years now. I think maybe your lowest ranking would have been your freshman year. I think it was around in the 30s. I think I saw a 13th maybe the next year, maybe a seventh the next year. And then I went back through all our rankings reports from this year. You've been the number one player in the country every week except for week one, which was Michael Vick, and you were two that week, right? So What do you think has been the main contributor to that growth and that progress, whether it be from year one to now, or even just going into this season? What's really propelled you into that as the number one player in the country?
Honestly, I think I've just improved my mental game a lot. You know, like, yeah, obviously, like getting a little longer, you know, cleaning up the short game and the iron play, like that all helps. But I feel like I'm a completely different player, like mentally now compared to like even just last year, but especially like 2 years ago. Like 2 years ago, I'd get mad, like get really hard on myself and all that. But like now I just kind of like let it go and I enjoy my time on the course a lot more. I'm not like an angry golfer anymore. And I really like more than anything else think that that's led to me just like becoming a better player throughout my, you know, my college.
Sure. Is there anything intentional that brought you to that point? When you talk about the shift mentally, was there anything intentionally that you've done or maybe even just a moment in time in your personal life where you were like that mentality kind of shifted? Because, I mean, for some of us, there really is a moment where we're like, you know, golf is just a game or whatever it may be. So what was that, do you think, for you?
So the journey started, I think I always kind of knew I needed to like get better mentally, but the journey really started at Nationals in 2021. I played so bad and I got so mad at myself, and I could like tell how mad my parents were at me for being mad and like acting poorly. And that more than anything, I was just kind of like that was just embarrassing, like how I acted. And that was the main catalyst for me going forward to being like, you just got to improve. I mean, it's a hard journey.
Sure.
But
that's really interesting, especially I think that speaks volumes to you as a person that it wasn't just a let's get better at golf thing, but it was kind of, hey, I don't like the way I'm being portrayed as a person just personally. Right. Like that's kind of self-introspection to say, hey, not a good reflection on my family, not a good reflection on who I think Alex Price is. So let me change that. Was there anything specifically that you did? Again, just specifically just to change that mentality, or was it just kind of a night and day? All right, we're just going to be better at this kind of deal.
So it started with just me, just like by myself, just trying, just, you know, if I get mad, trying not to let it show and all that. And then about a year and a half ago, I started talking to like a sports psychologist, or I guess that's the best word, about like ways to improve and all that and how to improve my mental game. And I think that more than anything has really helped. Because, you know, he's a super, super great golfer who's played in tons of USGA events and done well in tons of USGA events. So kind of like learning from him and kind of like his process, and on top of him knowing a lot about, you know, psychology and all that, it did really help me.
Yeah. Has that played out maybe even more so than just, you know, being an angry golfer? Has it played out, do you think, on a shot to shot basis, when it comes to, this is me getting a little golf nerdy maybe, with like shot selection and things of that nature, has it changed your decision making on the course, just thinking a little bit differently mentally?
Yeah, maybe just trying to just not like take a shot on that, like I don't need to, just like, because one thing we talked about a little bit was like how your emotions can affect like your decisions on the golf course, and how like if you're mad, like you're more likely to take, you know, I don't know, the stupid shot, like try and hit like a low hook around the tree while just like punching out to the fairway is a better play. So yeah, in terms of stuff like that, absolutely, it's helped.
That's awesome. So kind of going into the season, you know, again, you said you did the work mentally, so on and so forth, you know, but obviously that means, you know, the game has gotten better. Your stroke average is sub 70 this year. I believe, again, I'm going back by memory here, I believe you've got 9 rounds sub 70. Your highest round is 73. So that also means that the bad days really aren't that bad. Was there a moment in time coming into the season or in the middle of the season where you kind of felt like that you felt confident that you were the number one player in the country and the results that you were putting up was kind of just who you were at this point?
So that was pretty concrete after the preview, because like I looked back at the preview and we're like, dang, like I made like mistakes, like I dropped the shot here, and I think I won by 9. So it was kind of that where I was like, just like imagine if like I didn't just make a couple silly mistakes, like I could have won by 13 or 14. But I was kind of feeling that way after the USAM. I mean, I was just kind of riding the high from that. Just really feeling like kind of unstoppable, especially after beating some big names, and not just, you know, amateur golf, but D1 golf up there. So, you know, I was really riding the high after that. Yeah.
So let's stay there for a second, because obviously I do want to talk about the USAM. And there's a smile on my face right now, because again, former D3 golfer, that's not something I would even sign up for. right? So to even like say, hey, let me go qualify for the USAM or try to qualify for the USAM, then get through stroke play, then make it as far as you did semifinals, correct?
Yeah, quarterfinals.
My apologies. So quarterfinals of the USAM on TV, like it was awesome to watch, like literally some of the most fun I had all summer. What, maybe that tournament, other tournaments during the summer, what do your summers look like? What kind of gave you the confidence to know or not know, I guess, that you can compete at that type of level at the USAM?
So I actually had a pretty rough start to the summer last year. Like early in the summer, I was not, it might've been some of my worst golf of like the last 2 years. And then I just like slowly started like piecing my game together. And I finally had like a good tournament at the State Open, at the Virginia State Open. And that was 2 or 3 weeks before the USAM. And then I qualified for the USAM, I think the week after. And it was just kind of just building on that a lot. Just like I finally had like one good tournament in the summer. And then it was just kind of, you know, take it from there. And then game started feeling better and better by the time I reached the USAM. And then, you know, luckily it clicked at the USAM for me. So
luckily is a funny way of putting it, which again, yeah, I mean,
you got to peak at the right time to play well on the big tournaments. If you have 2 good weeks a year and you do it on, you know, the most important week, then I guess it can be kind of seen as lucky.
I was going to say, but here's the way I see it though, to be honest with you. If you call it peaking, I think you picked a great 2 weeks to do so. But again, and I said this in a previous podcast, giving you as much kudos and praise as I can, there's plenty to say about doing that, maybe having a good month, you know, following that in the college season, and then having some rough patches after that. You've been the number one player in the country all year, right? So you've had a full year of really good golf. You know what I mean? So in my eyes, I don't call that peaking if you continue to back it up throughout the year. But you know, again, with the USAM, what was the expectation going in? Was there a moment in time where you were like, oh, wow, like, holy crap. Like, was it ever overwhelming? Did it ever feel like you did belong, didn't belong? What was that experience like?
It always felt like I belonged.
I love it.
My goal going into the USAM was to make the cut. It was to make match play. I told myself, you know, I'm a good match play player. I told myself once I make match play, anything could happen, right? I mean, it's just you versus one guy. You don't even have to worry. You know, you've already beat the 300 and some odd guys to get in here. It's just one-on-one. So I just kind of told myself, I expected myself to make match play, but that was also a goal I had. But it was just once you're there, just do everything you can, just one shot at a time and see where it takes you.
Yeah. What about match play specifically do you like?
I don't even know. It's just like how important every shot feels. You know, you can kind of get like if you're on like the 25th hole of a 72 hole tournament, sometimes it can kind of feel like, I mean, obviously every shot's as important, but like it can feel less important than on like the 6th hole of a match where you have a putt to have the hole. Like that putt, just for whatever reason in my mind, like could feel more important, even though it might not be. And to me, I love the important, big, like must make, got to make to win, you know, hit this shot or you're going home kind of mentality. And I get that more in match play than stroke play.
Interesting. So yeah, big finish in the USAM. Again, I watched like the whole thing, so it was awesome. Loved every last bit of it. So then you go to college, you go back for your senior year. What are the expectations then? Because you literally just knocked off, again, like you said, 300 some odd top players in the country. You're going back to D3 golf, not to say it's a lesser level or anything else. Like, do you, at that point, did you feel like, you know, big dog at that point, right? Like they got to come get me. Was that the feeling at that point?
I kind of did, because in the first, especially the first 2 or 3 tournaments last fall, like everybody I played with, like knew who I was immediately and like wanted to talk to me about the USAM. And I feel like, I mean, not to toot my own horn or anything, but I feel like they felt like I was going to go out there and do something and post numbers and stuff like that. So yeah, it definitely did feel like I was kind of going out there as like the favorite to win tournaments and the favorite to do stuff. I mean, whether that's the truth or not, it's kind of how I perceived it in my mind. And I expected myself to go out there, you know, and put myself in contention and, you know, win tournaments as, you know, I felt like I should have. So
that's awesome. So let's tell some listeners or educate some listeners about Alex Price and his game. What are you good at? What do you feel like your strength is out on the golf course?
Normally irons and wedges. Driving's become more and more of a strength, but I always felt like I was kind of a mediocre driver of the golf ball for how solidly I hit my irons. Like, I feel like if I have even a four iron in my hand, it's a scoring club. And then I've spent a lot of time putting last year, and putting was a big strength. And that was probably the best part of my game, honestly, at the USAM. But overall, iron play is probably the best, like physical aspect of my game.
Sure. What do you think causes that? Is that a mechanical thing, a feel thing? Again, some people are artists, some people are tacticians. Where do you feel like you fall in line there?
Definitely much more a feel player.
Okay.
I feel, for example, like distance just through pure speed of my hands and all that. I've tried it, like bring it to 10 o'clock on the backswing, and then, 9 o'clock on the downswing, you hit that, 82 yards. Like, never been that way. I can just kind of just like feel an 82 yard shot. And that's kind of how I perceive, like, just like shot shaping and approach shots, throughout the bag.
Sure. So. Sure. That's awesome. What do you feel like? You mentioned the driving, and I will say I've never seen you swing a golf, well, other than on TV. You're probably not a mediocre driver of the golf ball, considering the level that you're playing at. But what do you feel like is the area that either needs the most improvement, has come the most, or maybe, I don't want to call it a weakness, but an area that you feel like you want to get better at? And you can say nothing. Just say you got it all. You got all the shots. That's okay, too.
I think I got all the shots, but if I were to say anything, I'd probably say probably like 40% of that answer would be short game, and then 60% would be off the tee. Cause like I played, Wen Yi Ding was who I played in the round of 64, just never missed a drive. Like, if he stepped up first on a tee, he put pressure on me to put it in the fairway. And then, I mean, I'll never be like him, but Crystal Lamprecht hit the ball so far, that like I can see how good driving, like really good elite driving of the golf ball, can just like completely transform someone's game. And that's not where I'm at right now, and that's where I want to get to.
That's really interesting that you mentioned that and throw out Christo's name too. Like, so for you, was that kind of the USAM specifically, was that kind of the first time you had seen that, and that was kind of an eye-opening thing for you, or had you seen it in other places? What was the aha moment there for you, I guess, or when was that?
Against Christo in particular,
or just any of those elite players, when you talked about, having that ability to be an elite driver of the golf ball opens up so many other things. Was that kind of the first time you had seen that at the USAM?
Not the first time I'd seen it, but, maybe the first time I'd seen it to like that level.
Okay.
Cause, they were like, I don't know whether they did or not, but it seemed like they never miss hit drives.
Sure.
But I had played with like better drivers of the golf ball than I am, at least on average, on an average day. And I can really kind of see how just like, getting an extra 10 yards and keeping that, in the fairway 5 to 10% more of the time, can easily lead to better scores. And, that was probably the first time that I saw it at that level.
Sure. Yeah. That's interesting. Let's talk about your journey to Christopher Newport. So first of all, where are you from?
I'm from Northern Virginia, kind of Western Loudoun County. So
okay, I'm not too familiar with the area. Who's kind of like the hometown hero or the most famous people from the area?
Michael Brennan. I grew up about I grew up about 15 minutes from where Mikey grew up.
Okay,
he's definitely the most like notable, up and coming, golfer who's looking to do great things in the future from my area.
Sure. Yeah. So growing up there, did you play other sports? What were you into as a kid? When did you kind of know golf was going to be your thing?
So I played ice hockey growing up.
Okay.
So I played like US kids golf up until like the age of six. And then my older two brothers played hockey. And as a 6 year old, I mean, hockey's cooler. Let's be real. So I played travel hockey up until I was about 14. And then I stopped. partly due to a couple injuries, partly because I just didn't want to do it anymore.
Sure.
And then I started playing golf, I played on the high school team my freshman year, but I wouldn't really say I took it like that seriously. And then by the time I hit about 15, probably 16 was when I was like, all right, like I really like golf. Like let's try and get out here and play as much as I possibly can and practice. So about 16 was about the time I really started, getting into the game, like really competitively, I should say.
Sure. Sure. Interesting. So from there, then, you know, after hockey and again taking up golf pretty seriously later in high school, well, why Christopher Newport? What led you that direction?
So I was kind of too late getting into the. Well, first of all, I didn't think I was good enough at 16 or 17 to go play like a good D1 school in Virginia or anything like that. And on top of that, you know, I was already kind of late getting into, you know, getting coaches looking at me and stuff. And by the time I felt like I was good enough to maybe have a chance, you know, my class was already picked. And then I started talking to the coaches here at CNU. And I really liked the coaches and I liked the atmosphere that the team brought. And on top of that, you know, if you're at the top level of D3, you can go out and, you know, do what we're hoping to do in a week and win a national championship, which the mid-level of D1, which we're, you know, equal to as a team, you know, doesn't have the opportunity to do that. So that was really cool to me. And to get a bunch of other guys, you know, together to have a common goal to go out and try and win a national championship was really cool to me. So that was a big part that brought me here.
I'm glad you brought that up, because just sharing a bit of my story, that was kind of, I will say this though, I've never been the level of player that you are, but that was kind of the appeal for D3 for me as well, right? Where it was like, as you said, I could go somewhere else and hide on the depth chart, or, you know, maybe we're not going to compete for a national championship anywhere. And not to say that I went to Hanover, by the way, Hanover College in Southern Indiana, just north of Louisville. But the program was at a point at that time where we kind of had a chance to restart it and, you know, kind of make a name for ourselves and set program records. And that's what it was all about. Kind of what you talked about, right? Like, I want to be remembered for the most, you know, here, like it was a chance to do something really cool, compete for some things, get your name on the wall, that kind of stuff. So that really resonates to me, what you said there.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it.
Yeah. So then Christopher Newport specifically, maybe golf or outside of golf, what do you enjoy most about being at CNU in you?
golf.
Okay.
First and foremost. and honestly, other than that, it's a beautiful campus with, you know, you get a great education here. Like, I just like spending time on campus. It's fun just walking around, but if I'm being honest, I don't do much of golf. You know, we have an indoor now and I'll stay in there till, you know, 11 midnight, you know, working on my swing if I'm not playing well or something like that. It's truly something that I don't do anything else, but, you know, I'll have some teammates over, you know, for like a night or something like that. But
how small is the student body or campus? How many students you guys got?
I think 5,500 or 6,000 now. Okay. I'm not entirely sure how big. It could be a little bigger, a little smaller, but that's a good general estimate.
Okay. That's a pretty decent size. We were like 1,300. Like, we were just barely getting over 1,000 when I was at Hanover. So yeah, I think people can overlook how small D3 from a campus size can be sometimes. Mm-hmm. So that's funny. Let's see. So we got national championship coming up. Again, like we said, in a week. What's the mindset going in, maybe as a team, maybe as an individual? What are we thinking going towards next week? Give me a little preview.
So I'm going in with the expectations that I'm just going to compete, like be in contention coming down the stretch. And I don't really want to go any farther in my mind.
Sure.
I don't want to put like, not that I feel like it will really affect me or anyway, but I don't want to put any like undue pressure on myself to try and feel like I have to go out there and win or anything like that. But I'm definitely expecting myself to go out, you know, be in contention, you know, be in the hunt down on the back nine. But for as a team, as a whole, you know, I was talking to the guys today and there's absolutely no reason in our minds that we don't see us going out there and being able to win. You know, we won as a team by 16 shots out there in the preview. And again, all of us kind of felt like, you know, we gave some shots back to the field and we still won by 16. I think that just kind of goes to show kind of the depth of our team and, you know, our true chances of actually being able to win this thing, you know, in a week. So I think that's where the team's sitting right now. So,
yeah. But specifically to D3 golf, what has been maybe the best part, I won't say worst part, but maybe something a little different about D3 golf? What's the D3 golf experience been like for you?
It's been nice. So one thing that I've kind of heard about D1 that D3 has that D1 doesn't is we play against the same guys like every single week.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool because like I'll go out and I'll play. Like, I've played with a couple guys like 6-7 times out in college, and we almost have like a relationship because of that. So it's pretty fun to go out there like week in and week out and see the same guys, compete against the same guys. You kind of develop like a relationship and get to know people and all the coaches. And that can make it, you know, really fun to go out to tournaments and see the guys. So
that is a really good point. We traveled to we were essentially only going to Ohio, Indiana, or Kentucky, and it was the same.
Yeah,
12 or 15 schools playing the same teams, playing the same at each other's home golf courses. And like you said, you know, you develop relationships doing that. What's been something that's been a little bit different for D3 golf? You know, maybe give people a glimpse into, again, I don't want to say the struggle of D3 golf because it's not all a struggle, but what has been maybe some of the other stuff with D3 golf that you would say?
I don't really know. How D3 would like be that much different. Cause I guess it's all I really know.
Sure. That's a good point. What are the team dinners like? Our coach used to joke with us all the time that if we didn't play well, we were going to get gas station food. He never actually did that, but like it was a lot of Fazoli's and Arby's. I'll put it that way.
So when we're traveling, we, you know, like when we're actually like going to and back from tournaments and stuff like that, we may not eat the best, but we always joke that we eat better than any other college team in any sport across the nation.
Okay.
You know, we go eat great meals every night and we all love it. You know, the guys,
where do you guys go eat? Tell me what's on the restaurant list. I got to know.
Man, we try and find a lot of pizza. Okay. we all love pizza. You know, weirdly, we all like Red Robin too. So there's generally a Red Robin somewhere nearby.
That is so random. Just an absolutely random burger place. I love it.
But it's just a lot of stuff like that. We try and find like local places, stuff, you know, around, and you know, we eat pretty well. So I can't complain on that aspect at all.
Do you ever just run up the budget on the program when you eat? We would always, like, if we went to Arby's, we would just get like 12 junior roast beef sandwiches and just like take some back. Do you guys ever just run up the tab?
There have been times we felt like it, but schools never came back and said anything to us. So we've never stopped.
Yeah, there was plenty of ordering a whole large pizza for ourselves during my D3 career.
I got I wanted the last time, I think it was when we were playing our tournament at Lejeune. We went to a local pizza place and I wanted a specialty pizza, but they only came in 20-inch pizzas or bigger. So I got a 20-inch personal pizza. I ate like a quarter of it, but...
That's awesome. Let's get to know Alex a little bit. You much of a sports fan?
Yeah. Hockey and golf.
Not much of a basketball fan, football fan at all?
Not really. My girlfriend is, so okay. I will watch with her, but like personally, not too.
Okay.
That was not the household I grew up in. We grew up, you know, playing ice hockey and watching ice hockey. And, you know, my mom and dad both played college golf. So,
okay. Where'd your mom and dad play college golf?
TCU.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm not much of a hockey guy, but I would like to learn. Tell me, I know hockey playoffs are going on right now, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's your team? What are you watching? What are you looking for? Give me the rundown of what's going on in playoff hockey right now.
So I'm a big Caps fan. You know, I grew up 45 minutes outside DC. Okay. So I'm a diehard Caps fan. We didn't make the playoffs this year.
Okay.
So I was kind of going for the Oilers, you know, this year. But honestly, now that the Panthers beat the Bruins, I won't use hate, but I strongly dislike the Bruins. And now that the Panthers beat them, I'm going all in on the Panthers this year. Okay. But you know, it's been a great season for playoff hockey.
Who's like your favorite player, whether it be future, present, future doesn't make any sense. Past or present? That's what I meant.
Favorite player ever, Nicklas Backstrom for the Caps. He's why I wore number 19 playing.
Okay.
I almost like modeled my game like around Backstrom.
Okay.
You know, Swedish player who plays for the Caps. And right now in the league, though, I mean, currently in the playoffs, it's got to be Connor McDavid. I mean,
that's again, I don't know much about hockey, but so that's the guy I keep hearing about. I keep hearing he's just absolutely cold-blooded.
He's just so fun. No one else in the NHL can like play with the speed and, you know, the skill that he can. And he's like anything else in the game of hockey right now. So
interesting. Yeah. Are there any similarities you see, or maybe that have helped you in golf, between hockey and golf? Are there anything you take from hockey that you feel like have translated well into becoming better at golf and being at the level that you are?
I don't know exactly what it is, but I know a lot of hockey players who are also good golfers. So there's got to be something about hockey that it is. I don't know if it's, I guess, somewhat of a similarity between like a slap shot and, you know, hitting a golf ball in terms of like the way the body moves, but I don't know, but I think there's something there, but I can't quite pinpoint it.
I must say, I would imagine it's helped you at some point, but again, I wouldn't be able to skate, so I wouldn't be able to do the first thing that when it comes to hockey. But hey, man, I don't want to keep you too much longer. I really, really appreciate you hopping on. I'm gonna be watching, obviously, not because it's my job, but because I'm a fan. So I'm gonna be rooting for you as well as everybody else. But since you're a close personal friend now, I've got to be rooting for you as we get to the D3 National Championship. Best of luck, man. And as always, if you need anything from me, just give me a holler.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for sure, man.
Yep.
See you, Alex.